My husband and I were having a conversation, and I became curious about like, what is it that I'm so resistant or like avoidant of in this task? Like it feels way bigger than in reality it should be.
Right.
And then I realized it was a changeover in season. So I was taking and putting away all of the summer clothes and pulling up the fall clothes or vice versa. I had to rotate all the boys' dressers and make sure that they all had the appropriate size clothes now in this new season, mm-hmm. which meant I had to make a list to go and mm-hmm. buy the things that they didn't have for this season. So I couldn't fold the laundry and put it away because the dressers had to be rotated. And it was yep. really an extra 4 to 6 hours of work beyond just folding the laundry and putting it away.
You're listening to the Mommy Labor Nurse podcast, where you'll gain the tools, knowledge, and confidence you need to erase the unknowns, feel in control, and have an even better birth, no matter how you deliver. My name is Liesl Teen, mom of two, practicing labor and delivery nurse, and your host. From over 8 years and counting of working at the bedside, I know that knowledge is the key to an even better birth. So tune in each week to learn about all things pregnancy, birth, and postpartum from me, a labor and delivery nurse that's seen it all. And now let's get into this week's episode. Welcome back to the Mommy Labor Nurse podcast, where we are all about supporting moms on their journey through pregnancy, birth, and beyond, right? Because it doesn't stop at birth. Once you push that baby out, there's a whole lot more. And we're about to talk about that today. I'm your host, Liesl Teen, and today I have a very special episode lined up for you. Today, we are going to dive into a topic that is very near and dear to every mom's, not only just mine, but every mom's heart, the often overwhelming expectations of motherhood and the importance of reclaiming joy and fulfillment amidst the chaos, because it can be chaotic, can it? Yes. Joining me today is my good friend, Erica. She is a maternal mental health specialist and the founder of the Momwell community. And Erica is here with me to share insights from her latest book, Releasing the Mother Load. Her book offers practical guidance for moms looking to break free from the pressures of perfection and find their own path to fulfillment in motherhood. And throughout our conversation today, we talk about Erica's journey into the maternal mental health space, the inspiration behind her book, and some really key takeaways that moms everywhere and better listening out there can implement in their own lives. And at the time I recorded this episode with Erica, I had not read her book yet, but I have now. And oh my goodness, you guys, I feel so seen. This is not the kind of book that it's just a bunch of stuff that you have to do. She actually digs deep into like why we feel so invisible. That's the best way I can describe it. But I think I said at the end of the episode, but it's like she gave me a big hug. Oh, she made me feel so seen. And guess what? I said this in the beginning of our recording, but Erica is actually the first podcast episode guest that I've had on twice before. This is her third time being on the Mommy Labor Nurse podcast. So to hear more from her, which I highly encourage you to do, you can listen to my other two interviews with her. They are episode 79. She talked about the invisible load of motherhood on that one, and in episode 187, where we unpack postpartum psychosis. So go listen to those two episodes right after you listen to this one, and then go grab her book because it is such a warm, big hug. But without further ado, let's jump straight in. Hi, Erica. Welcome to the Mommy Labor Nurse podcast. Thank you so much for being here today with me for the third time. You are the first Mommy Labor Nurse podcast guest that has ever been on three times. So congratulations.
I'm so honored.
Welcome
Thank
back.
You. Yes. Thanks for having me. I love just, it's an excuse for you and I to catch up, if nothing else. I'm so happy to be here with you.
Exactly. Exactly. So for, our listeners who haven't listened to your previous two episodes, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, your practice, your platform, and what inspired you to create the Momwell community?
Yeah, it's always so interesting when I think about the journey, because I went to school to become a registered psychotherapist. I had no foresight where that would lead me. Now I'm running a full-fledged digital maternal mental health platform. But I'd been in practice, in group private practice, for about 10 years before having my own children. And I went through my own postpartum depression and anxiety after my third. In retrospect, probably after my first, but it kind of just like built up over time as I didn't address it and didn't get it treated.
Yeah.
And I went through my own, I call it like a rage, volcanic meltdown. I write about it in my new book, where I was just like totally distraught, throwing up in the driveway, like not a normal reaction to the situation of the morning that I had had.
Yeah.
And I realized that something was going on with me and I needed help. And as a clinician, I was like, I literally teach these skills for a living, day in and day out. Mm-hmm. And I'm struggling. Like, I don't make it make sense to me why this is the case. Like, I know the skills. I'm doing all the right things. Like, I know the things to do. And I really niched down on maternal mental health to understand my experience and understood how prevalent of like onset of mental health issues, and we're at such high risk in the postpartum perinatal period that this touches so many people, whether they're diagnosed and like clinically, or even just on a lighter level in like a struggle to adjust and transition to motherhood. So I started a social media page to help spread awareness, support in this transition. And that has turned into podcasts, turned into company, turned into a team of therapists serving Canada and the US. And now most recently has turned into my new book, Releasing the Motherload, which is wild. Did not think that this was going to be the journey. And here we are. Yeah.
I love it. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm so excited to get more into it because I have not written a book, but I'm very interested in people who go down that journey.
Yeah.
So can you talk a little bit more about your book, Releasing the Motherload? Because it sounds like it addresses a lot of common struggles that us moms have, like dealing with perfection in motherhood and this invisible load that we all seem to struggle with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really interesting. I had my agent on my podcast recently and we were talking about it because she approached me and she had been following me through the pandemic. She had just had her second son and she was really resonating with the content that I was putting out. And Instagram and social media, as you know, is such short snippets of content. And yeah, as a psychotherapist who can have sessions upon sessions in like one vein of an area, it just doesn't lend itself well to really getting to the crux of some of the things that continue the patterns that we carry out day in and day out.
Yeah.
So in chatting with her, she's like, I think that there is a book here. Like, I was one of the only ones talking about the invisible load of motherhood at the time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Our platform became very known for that, talking about invisible labor, the mental load, and all of those pieces. And she kind of posed a question, like, if you could write one book and leave it out in the world, like, what would that book be?
Yeah.
And I think back to that rage meltdown that I was referring to and think back to that time and what some of those contributing factors were. And I found myself standing in the middle of this storm that I had actually, in many ways, I say created for myself, but sort of was auto adopted into because of the pressures of society. So I took on very intently and with like passion, wanting to embody being the perfect mom, being a good mom, what that looked like. And I didn't actually do any work to take an inventory of what that truly meant for me. I only had these external ideas and pressures of what I saw and was told that that should be. And I was determined to try to live up to them. Mm-hmm. And then I looked around sort of post breakdown turn breakthrough and was like, wait, I'm carrying all of these tasks around. I'm trying to live up to all of these expectations. I'm feeling these pressures pulling me in a million different directions. And I didn't subscribe myself to any of this shit. Like, this was not me intentionally opting into this way of motherhood. And so through doing my own work of really unpacking how I got defaulted into that role, how I was caring so much, what role perfectionism had to play, like all the things, my partner and I very intentionally built an equal partnership in our home and share that invisible labor and that physical labor. So I take some of those experiences plus my experience as a therapist to unlearn these norms and these pressures and these beliefs to really help us like release once and for all. Rather than, I love fair play. I love the fair play card deck. I have it. I use it. And what I hear from clients a lot is they will divide up. They'll have a really productive time with their partner where they will like divide the tasks out. But then in a month or two or whatever, they find themselves falling back into default patterns and can't quite understand why this keeps happening. And so my book comes in to challenge these internalized norms we have in the first place that tell us that actually carrying all these things are what make us a good mom. So we're not going to want to put them down if we feel like we measure our worth according to these tasks. So carving out their own way forward in motherhood. And in order to do that, we've got to release a lot of that invisible load and pressure that we carry.
Yeah, totally. I know. I'm following you. Like, I know that book, Fair Play, and, you know, I have the cards too, and I've read all the things. But it sounds like they talk about a lot of doing, but you're like, okay, yes, but what's the root of all of this?
Right.
And let's get to the roots here.
Like, how did I end up carrying all of these things and being the default to begin
exactly.
with?
Exactly.
And it's not my fault that I found myself in this shitstorm. Like, it's not our fault as women. Like, a lot of it is like how things are structured around us. But also, we have some power in doing an inventory of what we are subscribed to in terms of our beliefs and pressures and expectations we're trying to live up to, and deciding what really fits for us. And in the book, I explain it as we've got this filing cabinet in our minds, and it's labeled motherhood or mom. And every image we've seen throughout our life of what a good mom looks like, or what a mom should be, or something that's representative of motherhood, gets crammed into this drawer. So when we enter into motherhood, we start to pull on these messages that we've received. We start to pull on the images we've observed, the roadmap that our mom gave us, or our stepmom, or our grandmother. And we start to like try to rely on that drawer to navigate and find our way. But I don't know if you've ever had a filing cabinet that has all the junk drawer, like all the junk, all the bills, all the things that are just no longer relevant or need to be shredded, need to be tossed out, need to be sorted. And that's really what this book does, is it takes you through a really intentional examining of the filing cabinet to say, okay, let's look at this belief. Do we hold it? Do we not? If we don't, let's scrap it then. We don't have to try to live up to that. And I just don't think that we think to do this. Like, we don't know to do this. And also, mothering is freaking intense. So without a guide to take us on this journey, like, it's hard to make the time.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you're preaching. Like, it's a lot. It's a lot.
Not sure what you need to care for yourself down there after birth. I've been there. Not stocking up on postpartum essentials before I gave birth to my first was one of my biggest mistakes. I don't know what I was thinking, guys. But now, as a two-time mama, I know a thing or two about postpartum recovery and exactly what you need to make it through this stage as comfortably as possible. For a completely free checklist of what you need to stock up on for those early postpartum days, just head over to mommylabornurse.com/postpartum checklist. That's mommylabornurse.com/postpartum checklist, all one word, to grab the PDF for free today.
We've said the invisible load. I've said that a few times. You've said that a few times in the podcast. Now, what does that actually mean, the invisible load of motherhood? Because I'm assuming that when people hear that for the first time, they kind of get it, but it's like, I don't really get it until, oh, okay, I get it. And yes, you're right. That is actually exactly what's going on in my head, in my household, and society.
Yeah. It's interesting because I think we know what that feels like to carry it. We know the weight of it, but we don't know necessarily the words to describe it. And we don't know how to make it visible to our partners, even to ourselves sometimes. Yeah. So we liken the invisible load to like this invisible backpack that we get given when we enter motherhood. And in the book, I talk about how you get this backpack with your first, you kind of get another one with your second. It kind of exponentially grows as you have more preferences and schedules and things to manage.
Yeah.
And it is all of the anticipating, researching, planning, monitoring, oversight, management of all the things in the home for all the people. So if you think about in school, when you had to sit down and write an essay or like a research paper, you had to go and source the articles, read them, research, find your topic, carve out how this paper was going to go, all the things before you actually sat down to write the paper. By the time you sat down to write the paper, you'd done all of the mental work and processing to sit down and do that physical task. The invisible load is all of that internal mental processing that happens to keep the care work and the household flowing. That auto assign gets defaulted to mom primarily most of the time. And until we have language to describe what this is, and until we can make it visible to ourselves, I call this the aha moment where we see it for ourselves. I like that. And I have like a whole moment where kind of like the veil was torn for me where I was like, oh my gosh. And then I couldn't look at a task without seeing all of the invisible tasks with it.
Yeah.
And once we see it, then we can have productive conversations with our partner or our support system about ownership over those pieces so that we aren't the ones constantly having to keep tabs on all the things.
Oh my gosh, because it's exhausting, isn't it?
Oh like my gosh.
Planning all the things, figuring out how everything is going to work is a mountain in and of itself. Like people think it's just, okay, do the laundry. But I was just talking about laundry in my story the other day and how my laundry, I feel like this is probably relevant because in laundry is a big invisible task of motherhood. But I was talking about in my story how my laundry system, I've changed it up now to make it work better for my household and just the kids and just to make it flow, right? And I talked about how, like, number one, I'm starting to talk to myself a lot, be a lot nicer in my head to myself. Like, just because there's a pile of laundry right there, like, doesn't mean that there's anything remotely wrong with you, right? Because you think that, oh my God, I'm behind on laundry. I'm such a shitty mom. I'm such a shitty, you know, like I'm so behind. So first of all, that's the first thing that you do, start to talk to yourself kindly. But I started to just implement little tiny things in my system, like putting a random laundry basket right here where I always throw my clothes instead of just trying harder to put my clothes in the basket that I have over here. It's like, no, just put a basket where you normally put your clothes. Okay, now they at least look a little bit better and it's grouped a little bit better. But one thing that, and I got a lot of feedback on this, one thing that I did was I brought all of my children's clothes down. I have like a little laundry, it's like a pantry slash, right, like have the washing machine in the dryer. It's like a big open room. But I brought all of my children's clothes down from their rooms, socks, underwear, everything. And I have them in like baskets and bins in there because it was such a challenge to fight with them in the morning to have them go all the way back upstairs to get their clothes or even the night before, like pick out stuff from you. It's like, why don't I'm doing their laundry in the laundry room anyway. Like, who said that we have to keep our kids' clothes in their rooms? Okay, I get it. Like, my kids are 7 and 3. Okay, I'm like pretty much in charge of getting them dressed in the morning still. Maybe that'll change once they get a little bit bigger. But right now, my kids' clothes are in the laundry room. And that has made such a huge difference because it's right there. We can get dressed. And then when they are taking off their clothes at the end of the day and doing PJs, the basket is right there for them to throw in their dirty clothes. And it has made such a world of difference. So I know that's a huge tangent, but side note.
No, it's so good. Yeah. And my aha moment was actually around laundry. And
really?
I talk about for like several pages, I felt like I was going on and on. And in the book, I'm like, you might wonder why we're still talking about laundry, but like an entire epiphany can come from a moment like this, right?
Yeah.
And mine was, I was postpartum with my third. we had become a family of five, talking about the laundry and the blowouts and the spit ups. I had three children, yeah. 3 and a half and under.
Yeah.
And my husband and I had this system where he is really good at noticing when the laundry, I'm ADHD. I'm not good at noticing.
Same girl. Yeah. It's gotta be in front of my face. That's why I put all their stuff. It's like, it's gotta be in front of my face.
I run out of clean underwear and I'm like, shit, I should do some laundry. Right.
Yep.
So,
yep.
But he is very good at like monitoring when it's getting full. He puts it in, he sets a timer to switch it to the dryer. I would forget it for 3 days. So,
yeah.
So he owned that part, knowing that that was not my strength. And then I would fold and put away because I was more particular about the kids' rooms and clothes or whatever.
Yeah.
And in this time postpartum, this mountain of laundry in my room just kept growing. I couldn't even tell you how many loads were fed into this thing. And I'm like, every day I'm passing by it, like, why can't you just get it together? Why can't, it's just laundry. Like, you are a capable adult. Why can't you just fold this and put this away?
Yeah.
And this went on for probably a couple of weeks until my husband and I were having a conversation and I became curious about like, what is it that I'm so resistant or like avoidant of in this task? Like it feels way bigger than in reality it should be.
Right.
And then I realized it was a changeover in season. So I was taking and putting away all of the summer clothes and pulling up the fall clothes or vice versa. I can't remember what season. And so I had to turn over all the clothes, which meant that I had to rotate all the boys' dressers and make sure that they all had the appropriate size clothes now in this new season, which meant I had to make a list to go and buy the things that they didn't have for this season. So I couldn't fold the laundry and put it away because the dressers had to be rotated. And it was really an extra 4 to 6 hours of work beyond just folding the laundry and putting it away. Yes. And when we can actually see that and understand it and be curious about like what is underneath like the iceberg of this task, we can make it visible and share it with our partner. But we do so often as moms, what you were describing, why can't I do this? Why can't I keep it all going? Why is this so difficult for me to manage? It seems like everybody else is managing this fine. And we like go inward and attack ourselves rather than becoming curious about why the system isn't working for us anymore. Mm-hmm. And that is just one example of a physical task in our home. There is an iceberg, an invisible iceberg of all of the physical tasks in our home. And we map these out in the book. We call them load maps, where we map them out to try to do the work for the reader in the book so that you don't have to be the one to try and think about all this invisible labor and note it down. So we provide the load maps, but then we also provide empty blank ones with a digital download so that you can, if there's one not covered in the book, write down, okay, what is all the anticipatory stuff I'm keeping track of, like seasons and sizes and all of that? What's the research I have to do? Where is it most affordable? What's, you know, who's got what stocked? And then what's the ongoing management of those tasks so that we have this now physical representation of what this invisible load looks like? Mm-hmm. And then we sit down together as a team, as a family, as a support system or whatever, and figure out who's going to have ownership over those pieces.
Well said. Oh, yeah. We could go on and on about whether it's the laundry or the dishes or the switching out of the clothes or the grocery shopping or all of these things to make like a family run, right? But I'm so glad to hear that you guys have you call them roadmaps, right? For
load maps.
I like it. But I'm so glad to hear that because that I feel like is the battle in and of itself, for me at least. I'm not good at that, is figuring out how to do stuff. I can do stuff if somebody tells me how to do it, but it's the how. That's the real barrier for me. So I'm so glad to hear that you guys are making strides there because, oh, it's a lot.
It's paralyzing when there's so many tasks and then you just don't know why you're avoiding and you can't initiate the task.
Yeah.
But it's really because there's so many things sort of hidden underneath there. So making it visible so you can have...
Yeah, they're invisible. So making it visible. You're right. You're right. Well, we've talked about setting boundaries a little bit, but really building a support system. And you've talked about your partner, you know, a little bit and how he can be a support system, but what about maybe like other forms of support? We know, you know, in society, right? Support is so, so crucial to making the world run as moms. And I feel like it's like you, what's the phrase? You work like you're not a mom, but society expects you to stay home. Like I forget,
yeah.
But it's like you are alone in this whole thing, but we also preach like band together. So, having a support system is so, so important, right?
Mm-hmm.
But can you share some practical tips or advice from your book on how moms can tackle these sorts of areas in their own lives?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting because the book is written to any mom, partnered or not partnered, support system or no support system, because sometimes, and it's really frustrating and discouraging when we don't have control over others' buy-in to share the load with us. Now, yeah. That being said, there are some partners who are unwilling, and that is really frustrating and,
yeah.
You know, is going to have breakdowns and repercussions in the marriage as a result of their unwillingness. But that doesn't mean that we can't release and let go of things for ourselves that we don't have to hold on to.
All right, the sound of that heartbeat means it's time for this week's segment of Birth It Up Babies. This one says, hey, I followed you since my first trimester and took your epidural course. I gave birth in September. I labored at home for 12 hours and was dilated to 5 when I got to the hospital, and then labored for 12 more hours with an epidural. Once I was finally at 10, I only pushed for 20 minutes and had very minimal tearing. Loved your course and Insta content, helped me to relax, take things slow, and know what to expect at every stage of pregnancy and labor. Ugh, such good feedback. I love it. So glad we could help. If you want to have an even better birth just like this mama, head on over to mommylabornurse.com/courses to learn more about our 3 online on-demand birth classes.
And then there are, like in my case, I had a very willing partner. It's not that my partner was unwilling. It's that I wanted so badly to be the perfect mom that mm-hmm. I felt that I had to do all of the things. So it is for all of the people sort of in all of those situations. And when it comes to releasing the load, whether we've got a support system or not, when we go through that junk drawer and we really understand what we want in there and what we don't, then we have a criteria by which we evaluate things to let go of the load. So for example, there's a chapter in the book on values, and we go through a values list and help you identify your individual personal values as well as the ones that are important to you in motherhood. And we also have a free downloadable exercise called a value sort. They're cards. You cut them up, put them out on the table. You can do it individually. You can do it with your partner. And you take these like 100+ value cards and dwindle them down to your top 10. What are the things that are core drivers and motivators for you that you want to embody and live out day in and day out that are just so fundamentally important to your sense of fulfillment and satisfaction and meaning and happiness and all of that? And once we have that list, we now have the criteria by which we're going to sort through this drawer. So I'm going to pick up a old memory of I talk about her a lot in the book, my maid of honor, who is the sort of quintessential homemaking type of mother.
We all have one of those in
right?
our lives.
And, like, yeah. And loves her for it. She sincerely loves it, right?
Yeah.
And like, that's just her jam.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That doesn't mean that I have to adopt that value system, and it doesn't mean that she has to adopt my value system. When we recognize that we carve out our own criteria, our own set of values, our own map and compass within those values, suddenly the expectations others put on us, or the pressures they put on us, or the feedback, unsolicited advice we get from people, suddenly starts to feel like it stings less and carries less weight, because we can see, oh, that's them coming from this value. Mm-hmm. I don't hold that value. So really, I can toss this. I can discard it. Exactly.
Yes.
And so that applies so much when we're talking about if we're lacking support system, going through this drawer and kind of triaging our load is so much more important than because our capacity is less. We can't carry out perfectionism in all the areas because we just frankly don't have enough hands in the house or enough support to see some of these things through. So I've been opting for, I love to plan a good Pinterest worthy party. Like a part of me lives for that. But the other part of me in the craziness of a book launch and running a company and doing all of these things is like, you know what? I'm just going to take the Chuck E. Cheese package with the pizza and the nothing that I have to do. And birthday party happens either way. Like I just eliminated, I don't even know how much of a load on myself. And that wasn't even something that I had to give to a partner necessarily, right? So there are ways to triage this for ourselves when we're lacking support. But then when we also have support systems, I feel like it can contribute to the chaos if we aren't anchored in our values because their feedback or how they might get their hands in the pot, like we need to know what that value system is so that we can set boundaries and have those guardrails in place, so to speak.
Oh, I love it. We're really going deep. I mean, we're talking like values and core values. That's deep. I'm interested to see these. You said there's 100 that you guys.
So in our values, I think there's like 100 to 120. They're little cards. Wow. And we have the, like I have the word, I don't know, adventure or creativity. Yeah. And then a little descriptor underneath so you can really internalize like what that means or looks like for you. So it's not like the definition. It's more of like a descriptor of what that would look like applied to you. Yeah. And you lay them out. And I did this again recently. And my partner did this again recently. And it's just so interesting because it's such an important reminder about what truly you hold as important.
Yeah.
It's really great work to do by yourself and with your partner if they're open. It's just such a fun conversation starter.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Oh my gosh. Well, I'm so excited. So I always record my intro after I record episodes just for my listeners to know. I mean, I'm sure they already know, but I'm excited to go and now read your book and then later on record this intro and see what I've learned from your book. Because I'm so excited to get these cards and just see, wait, okay, what does one of your cards say? I just want to know where the what some of the value cards say.
So one of the ones that stood out for me was creativity. And I never would have thought, I never would have aligned myself with creativity until I was like 31 or 32. It wasn't until I started down this digital marketing kind of social media that I ever would have described myself as creative. And now to me, if I'm not creating day in and day out, and that expression can vary in a lot of different ways. It's definitely not like art by any means. It's more like, digital content and the book and various things like that. But to me, if I am not creating, something feels a bit empty, right? Mm-hmm. Another one that I really value, I believe there was a couple of different words for it, but I think ultimately it landed on legacy and like impact, like leaving something of importance in the world. So I think about the platform and the like sort of mission-based, social impact-based mission of the company, being a part of that, like leaving the world kind of better than how I found it in some way. And so we've got these individual values. Those are my sort of core individual ones. And then we also have ones in motherhood that can look a little bit different. Like I really value, let's say like slowness or simplicity, like connection and attunement in like the little moments, not the big flashy ones. And so that's something that I prioritize and try to make time for. Usually that looks like just every kid having their own good 15-minute independent tuck-in. And sometimes that's enough to really like have that connection and that quietness. Yeah. Because with three kids ninja fighting all day long, I don't really get that in the middle of the
three
day.
Three boys too. So three it truly boys. Is ninja fighting.
Oh yeah. So but then once we know what they are, then we work towards being able to apply them and adjust things accordingly.
Yeah. In every aspect of your life.
And that's a free download. So Erica Jossa, DJOSSA.com. Download the value sort. You just cut the cards up and lay them out on the table and it walks you through how to do that.
Oh, I love it. We'll leave that link too in the show notes for people to check it out. But to wrap things up, what would you say is your biggest takeaway that you hope moms and, you know, partners, because I'm sure partners are going to read this book as well. But what would you say is the biggest takeaway that you hope that moms and others get from your book?
I think one of the biggest pieces or maybe questions or actions that I hope to come from it would be to stand and look around and ask, like, how did my name get on this task? Like, how was I auto-assumed into this role? Was it because of my role as mother? Is it because of my gender? Was there a conscious conversation around it? How did I get defaulted into ownership over this category? Yeah. And once we step back and realize, wait a minute, none of this is my handwriting on any of these tasks. I was auto-assigned these because of society and a lot of reasons that we unpack, we can realize, well, frick, I'm going to remove some of them or hand some of them off. And that's a really profound realization that I don't think a lot of us come to when we're in autopilot and in the trenches of motherhood. And understandably, we are, you know, drowning in the day in, day out lack of sleep and stuff. But it's so important when it does happen, because everything can change from there.
Yeah. Oh, well said. Oh my gosh, Erica, it's always a pleasure. And for those listening, please go back and listen to Erica's two episodes. I'm going to save them in the intro because God knows I don't know the numbers. I haven't memorized the numbers of my own podcast episodes. I'm sure you haven't either. They just all mix together after years and years of doing a podcast. But for those listening, please go back and listen to Erica's two podcast episodes because they are fabulous. And Erica, thank you so much for joining me today. This was such a pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. Can you tell our listeners where they can, I know we've mentioned your book, but can you tell our listeners where they can find you on social media, on the internet, if they want to get your book? Is it on Amazon? Where can we find you?
Yeah. The book is called Releasing the Motherload, available wherever books are sold, Amazon, Target, Indigo in Canada, like all the places. And the book free downloads and resources that we were talking about today are at ericajossa.com. Mm-hmm. And that's book related. And then from MomWell, from a maternal mental health perspective, seeking support, adjusting to motherhood, we are MomWell on Instagram. We've got the MomWell podcast. And we've got MomWell therapists across Canada, and we're rolling out in California, New York, Texas, Pennsylvania, and Florida in the US. And we're working on getting in network to lower barriers for moms to access that maternal mental health care. So see what we've got available for you. We've got all the things to wrap around and support mom's mental health.
I love it. It's just, it feels like a warm hug, right? Mm-hmm. Olaf from Frozen. It feels like a warm hug. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I love it. Erica, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks so much for having me. I feel so honored to be the only third repeat. Yeah. I appreciate it so much. Thanks.
Big, big thanks to Erica for coming on the podcast for the third time. Just love her. Don't you guys just love her? She's just a wealth of knowledge. Next week on the podcast, we are going to be talking about prenatal visits. It's just me and you. I'm just doing a solo episode, but I'm going to be talking about 10 helpful ways to rock your prenatal appointment. So if you're pregnant, you're definitely going to want to check it out. So stay tuned. I will see you guys same time, same place next week.
Already feeling a little more confident about pregnancy, birth, and newborn life? Don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you can continue to erase the unknowns and never miss an episode. And if you're looking for even more, Instagram is definitely where I hang out the most. Come join our community of more than 500,000 moms for birth education, tips, and solidarity. You can find me at mommy.labornurse. Check out today's show notes and a searchable library of every Mommy Labor Nurse podcast episode at mommylabornurse.com/podcast. And while you're there, be sure to head to the blog to learn about our online birth classes too. See you next week. And remember, you can have an even better birth no matter how you deliver.